Clint Sterner. Look at Sterner.
95.7 The Fan presents...
Clint Sterner is the last man standing. Now, who is Clint Sterner?
His two strongest strengths, he's competitive and he's smart.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I'm going to put my hands on this bathroom counter and see if I can't twerk a little bit, see what it looks like, see what it feels like.
The Drive is live for Dirty's Daily.
TV's still on Space City Home Network after the Astros got a dub today. Impressive dub, 1-1, Christian Javier. No, they didn't win 1-1. It's a 1-1 ball game down a stretch.
That'd be a first.
That'd be tough to win one like that, ain't it?
Hell of a dub right there.
Cam Smith goes out there and hits a bomb in the ninth, and the Astros bring it home. But big day, Ron, big day. Christian Javier was able to have a good game. And anytime a young guy like Cam Smith has a moment like that, it's a beautiful thing. Abreu was money. Dialed in down the stretch.
Three strikeouts.
Yeah, man, he was, and that was a really good lineup for that group of guys to perform that well against. So, really good day for the Astros beyond just getting a W. We'll hit that later in the show as well. Today's Dirty's Daily is powered by the lady you just heard. The lady you just heard right there. Don't give mom enough love, enough shout outs here on the show. Astro Granny, greatly appreciate it. I wish everybody had a mom like I got.
Astros.
She's always available. She's good with the audible. Had to call an audible on her this morning, Joe. She thought she was coming over to take the kids to school, and I said, no, I need you to take the dog to the vet.
Gosh damn it, man.
No, that ain't what you said. Now, had I not really been hard on you over the years, you probably would have said that. But you you would have said that too. Now, to this morning, no, you've learned, Mom. You've grown. You've matured. It only took you 92 years, but you did. And, hey, call the audible.
76.
Like my boy A. Luke used to do. Like my boy Lucas used to do. Give the audible, he just ran the route.
She did. She didn't fight it.
No complaining.
She may have won it. She doesn't mind getting them dog either.
Nah, man. I should give her a shout out more often. Tell her I love her more often. Call your mom. Call your dad. Call your people and tell them you love them, man. Astro Granny, appreciate you. All right. Obviously, game one. NFL Texans kicks off Sunday. Texans Bills. All right, Greg Cosell is analyst, I guess, in the media more. He's a media member, but he's more of an analyst and watches a lot of film,
especially for quarterbacks.
Yeah. Really good with quarterbacks. And after a detailed Stroud study, here's what he expects Buffalo, or if he were Buffalo, what he would do to give Stroud fits.
I mean, just based on a detailed study of C.J. Stroud, if I'm Jimmy Leonard, you know, and obviously it's all based on down and distance, field location, situational football, but I would try to heat up Stroud. You know, Stroud's a beautiful thrower of the football, but one of the things that's really stood out over the last couple of years as he struggled at times is he tends to perceive pressure that by NFL standards is not really there, Ross. And, you know, obviously that's a problem because you have to be able to stand in there and still deliver the football the correct way with your fundamental mechanics. You can't break down, but he has a tendency to really speed himself up when he anticipates or perceives pressure.
And here's the beauty of that right there. One, I think he's spot on. We talked about it, Ron, about this season and how we feel it's going to go offensively. Well, we really don't know because we haven't seen anything in training camp or we haven't seen anything in the preseason where the defense is literally trying to manipulate the look and confuse the quarterback and the communicators on this offense. So we don't know exactly whether C.J. Stroud has taken this huge leap or not. And we'll find out on Sunday. But this audio right here is very real. That is what every defense is going to do to C.J. Stroud. It's what they did to Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien, the same offense. It's what they did to Deshaun, right? The more often, and it's the same way with C.J. Stroud, right? If you can get C.J. Stroud or Deshaun Watson back in the day, if you could get them at the line of scrimmage and have them eyes down, paying attention to what's going on in the front, am I getting A-gap pressures? Are they going to bail and come to my right? Are they going to bail and come to my left? The more you can keep them doing that, the better off you are as a defense, right? Now, the interesting thing is that the Texans' offense, their approach is not, hey, let's use tempo, to take some of that pressure off CJ Stroud. It is not, hey, let's have you know, a great screen game to take some of that pressure off of CJ Stroud. It is no, CJ Stroud's got to be better. CJ Stroud's got to learn how to communicate this. CJ Stroud has to learn how to process this and learn how to handle the pressure within this system. So that's what we're up against, is can CJ Stroud in this system, can he figure that piece out, Ron, and ultimately take the next step? And if he can, we're talking rookie year type CJ Stroud possibly. And if he can't, then we're going to have big question marks. I think we're going to have him from jump, because Buffalo's not a great defense, but I do think they're a good enough defense to manipulate you if you allow them to.
But those are the only answers for it.
What's that?
Like, that's the only answer, is him to just communicate this stuff better and not the things that you suggested to take.
Yeah, well, it's their answer. Their answer is, we're going to set C.J. Stroud back there, and he's going to figure this thing out. And he's going to have to be better this year, obviously, than he was late last year. So
that's why I'm hoping the guy we just heard from earlier maybe has some adjustments on that.
Well,
now we don't know yet, but I would just hope that there is some adjustment.
Well, there's no, as Greg Cosell, I mean, if Greg Cosell's watching a little bit of film and he knows, hey, this is what's going to happen. I've told you for months, hey, this is what you're going to see this until you learn how to have answers, whether that's the offensive coordinator, the quarterback, or the center, or having the guys that can get open, however you want to look at it. Until you prove that you can win in those moments, defenses are going to continue to throw those looks at you. And so he is, there is no doubt about it, he's going to get those looks. Now, you fast forward to what we just heard from Nick Caley, who, by the way, if you have the Audacy app, AUDACY, you can rewind to, what time did we play that? 3:00?
Yep.
3:00, Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator, spoke. We played him in full. You can go back and listen to that. It was really good. But he talked a lot about communication, which I said earlier, I'm exhausted with communication stuff. Like I'm we've talked about communication like we're coaching high schoolers at this point. But it is, when you talk about the sense of urgency, the last play's over, the minute it's over, have a sense of urgency getting back in the huddle, have a sense of urgency getting out of the huddle and getting the line of scrimmage. I do think that that is how you beat the looks that C.J. Stroud's going to get. I do like that piece of it. I would like for them to have a different kind of view of it, to your point, and kind of go about attacking defenses in a different way to make sure they're not just giving.
Well, it's not just to help C.J., but it's also to help the guys up front, right? Like, as he said there earlier, I think the best way to attack C.J. Stroud right now is to heat him up.
Yeah.
And that's to bring pressure. Well, that's also... There's also been a high level of success over the last few years with doing that, because, as you said, whatever it is, if it's the, and I'm sure it's all parts, the communication from the quarterback to the center to the offensive line, or to guys just getting their ass kicked, right? We've seen that. We've seen it all, right? And they've been extremely successful with being able to do that.
Yeah.
Which is because I feel like we all, Tyler, myself, you, even the biggest CJ haters, if that Joker has time,
special,
he can make throws even with guys that aren't always all the way open like you think, if he has time.
Well, I don't even think you're absolutely spot on if he has time.
And again, I want to make sure people hear, I'm not saying that's not on him. He is a part of the protection problem they've had.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Even if he doesn't have time, Ron, and he has to get rid of it quick, CJ's really good. The key with CJ is if he doesn't know who's picked up and who's not, right? If he has to snap the football and he's not real sure whether he's got it figured out and he's got a hat for a hat, or is there a free runner somewhere, that's when CJ's made some really bad decisions. And that's going to get him in trouble the more he snaps the football. And I said it last year. Like, it's not about getting heated up. It's not about pressure that bothers a quarterback. Typically, a quarterback is very comfortable when you know the blitz is coming, when teams are going to show it to you. The problem is when you snap the football and you don't know who's protected. Which, do you have a hat for a hat or not? Do I have a free runner coming backside or not? Or is that guy in the A-gap? Like, that's when you get in trouble, and that's when we've seen CJ get in the most trouble. The play that I point to is that the Woody Marks play where there's a completion to Foster Moreau in the preseason, but Woody Marks stepped up in the A-gap. The A-gap defender bounced. The corner blitzed, and Woody Marks slid out there and picked him up. If they can operate cool, calm, and collected like that right there, then I don't think they have any problems against Buffalo.
Yeah.
But that is the big if out there for all of us Texans fans. That's the big if out there is, can they handle those pressures? Because they're damn sure going to get those looks. Yep. No question about it. So that's Greg Cosell's really, really good. Another thing with the Texans real quick, Ron, how do you feel about Xavier Hutchinson being in the starting lineup? I mean, I know it's a at this point, really, it's probably a no-brainer. I don't think that Jalen Noel had enough time to even to prove what he could or couldn't do.
Or Boutte. Well, I guess he'll probably be
well,
up there.
Well, yeah, the three starting receivers is Boutte and Nico and Xavier, if they're in 11 personnel. How do you feel about that's where they've landed with Xavier Hutchinson in that slot role?
For me personally, I don't love it. But I do think for what they want to do, he makes a lot of sense. A physical guy that can block in the run game, can help in the run game. I don't know about a level of explosiveness or fear that he puts in defenses, but for what it is that they want to do, it makes a lot of sense.
I tell you, the more I think about it, the more I like it. I'm not saying I want it to be this way forever, but the more I like it. In this game where the Texans have put so much stock into running the football and they put so much stock into their receivers blocking and being multiple in formations and yada, 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 the best guy... Now, I think Higgins was coming. Well, I don't know that I've ever looked forward to seeing a receiver block, but Higgins was doing it for me. But Xavier Hutchinson has been really good in that role. He's been really good on the field of being the move guy, obviously really smart, but being willing to block inside the tackles sometimes, but be willing to execute all those physical pieces of being a receiver in this offense. He's been really good at that. And game one, out the gate, as a fan going, okay, the Texans, they're saying they're going to run the football. I think Xavier Hutchinson being that guy actually gives you an advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, with that part of it. Yeah, especially over Jalen Noel and his size and his –
And
he knows his role.
Yeah.
You know, and he will execute mostly what they want in his role.
Well, the other piece of it, though, is I don't know that Buffalo – and I hadn't film studied Buffalo the way I do the Texans, obviously. I don't know if their defense is good enough to really go, oh, my God, what is Xavier Hutchinson going to do to get open? You know, it's not like Derek Stingley's over there blanketing.
Yeah, no. No, I mean, yeah, they don't – their secondary is not a scary thing. We'll see. They've got some new pieces in the front seven that we'll see, and they haven't seen. Like, Ed Oliver has not played in the game against the Texans. Bradley Chubb is new and wasn't on the team last year. So they've got some guys in the front seven. And, you know, we'll see what Jim Leonard does as he is running the defense, how different that is. Sean McDermott was a really good defensive coach, but they struggled. I mean, they were really bad against the pass and the run last year.
Yeah.
So based off what we saw last year, there should be some avenues where – all right, even a Hutchinson can get himself, you know, open and free.
Well, I think this is a game where we're going to find out a lot about the Texans and what they've set out to accomplish this offseason, this preseason, building the roster, draft picks, running the football ultimately. And I think Hutch actually fits into that piece really, really well. We'll see. You got Nico Collins, you got Xavier Hutchinson, and obviously Boutte out wide. That's going to be... It could be a good combo. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Boys, I got a positive report from the wife. Sit a little over 6 months pregnant. Had a little doctor's appointment this morning.
Okay.
Everything's good, man.
That's good.
The bride is good. Mama's good.
You guys are still doing that. You're gonna be surprised.
We're gonna be surprised. We don't know. But this one's a little rougher on Mama than first two. Them first two were significantly easier than this one. Let me rephrase it. I'm going to treat my wife giving birth kind of like I do football. It's never easy, right? The previous two were significantly less difficult than this one's been.
Mama's ready now.
Mama's ready now, and she's got a few months to go.
But
we got a good, we got a good report.
It's good. Well, y'all have had some stuff. You got moving in there. You've had some, you got two other kids.
Yeah, one of them bad boy. One of them bad boy.
What do you got? You got twos or threes?
I was about to say, is it what age?
The threes are the worst. Threes are worse than terrible twos. And in my opinion, and a lot of people I've talked to.
Lainey will be three in December. Yeah, Liv will be five in February.
Oh, yeah.
Lainey's changed to bear. She used to, there was nothing bad about her. You know what I mean? There was no tempers. There was no, but Liv is. Whew.
She's testing your patience.
Oh, boy. She'll test out more than your patience.
She'll test more than your patience.
More than your patience.
All right. Coming up. There's a big time matchup Saturday in Austin, Texas, Ohio State. Is this game Saturday more about Arch Manning or more about Steve Sarkisian? We'll discuss that coming up next as we continue right here live on The Drive.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. This is The Drive here on The Fan and opening week. It is opening week. Opening week coverage on 95.7 The Fan is presented by Hands-Free Skechers Slip-Ins. Just step in and go. All right, Clint, it is Clint and Tyler, and I know Tyler is so fired up Saturday night. By the way, hey, you got an interesting game against Arizona State, the Aggies. So
for sure.
That's at College Station, correct?
Yeah, I might be there.
I knew it. I should set you up.
Might be going to God's country.
I'll leave it. I don't know he's going
to take his
trip to Jerusalem on us real quick when you're going. Sorry, he's at College Station, my fault. But no, that's an interesting game. But obviously, Clint, the game of the weekend, Texas, Ohio State, and plug, come on out. Come on out to Talyards. Talyards Brewing Company out in Sugar Land. I will be out there, and we'll have a watch party. Right? I'll be out there around 6 o'clock. They have amazing food, and all of their beers are brewed, and they've got tons of them. Anything that you are looking for, you want. They've got there. You can try them. You can do flights. You can do beer flights where you can try a whole bunch of different ones. And the greatest thing about it, especially if you're somebody who's in my life and Tyler's life and Clint's life, Tyler, you want to bring out the dogs? You can bring out the dogs. They got a spot the dogs will roll around.
My bitches.
You can bring out those girls, the dogs. Are they all girls, by the way?
Everyone's, yeah.
All of them, all girls.
Why did y'all do that?
I think it just kind of happened.
Just kind of happened.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by women. Yep,
they did that. They did what you and Lo have done, except they chose.
Yeah, I didn't plan it.
They chose to do that, or bring the kids, and there's, I promise you, they've got playgrounds. They've got all kinds of things. My kids always love hanging out and running around. Tires? Can we go to Tires? Dad, can we go to Tires? Yeah, and I'll go get a. As Clint would say, I'll get a little halfway busted up on the other side. Yeah. While you're hanging
any
out.
Of them ever, any of them ever lost a shoe?
Yeah. Not Italians.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, but no, man, a good time to be had out there. Come on out. We are going to be there until the game, man. Texas, Ohio State should be fun. Come out with us, give you some good food, some good drinks. It'll be a good time. Even if you're not near the Sugar Land area, come hang out with us. They're gonna give me a microphone out there.
When you get a chance to party, party.
They give me a microphone out there just and a stage.
Oh, give me risky. A microphone.
So what's your plan? What's your getting
risky. I don't know, man. I'll have a few and just wing it.
You got some giveaways?
I don't know.
Okay, well, if you do, you might want to let the people know what they're showing up for.
It's just gonna be a good time, man. It's gonna be a good time. Show
I'm a
up.
Flight guy. Did I say that? Guy? Did I tell you that already?
No, I didn't know that.
I'm a flight guy. Oh yeah, at a place like that, a brewery like that, yeah.
You got to be a
flight guy, and let Ron will tell you he's been there enough. We've been there enough to tell you which ones. How many come in a flight? Is it three or five? Do you know?
I think it varies.
I think it's five there.
Oh,
yeah.
There.
I think it's five there.
Yeah. So you'll get plenty of options, but just ask. Hey man, what's your most popular five? And sample them little joints. It's that's the way to go. That's no question the way to go.
Yep. Get you that. Get a little pizza. and do your and do your thing, man. They got it all there for you, man. It's a good time. We'll have a good time out there. All right, Clint. Though the game that we are looking at that's bringing us out there for the watch party is Texas Ohio State. It's the game of the week. Some people think could potentially be the game of the year. When you look at two Heisman Trophy candidates in Arch Manning and Julian Sayin, you look at the coaches in Sark and Ryan Day, Coleman, Cam Coleman. Now, I'm not saying he's on the same level as Jeremiah Smith, but two big-time receivers. These are two teams that are legit, thought to be legit title contenders.
Yep.
For Texas, Clint, is this to you more about Arch or Sark?
It's Arch. Yeah. Look, I mean, the reality of it is if he's more consistent, especially in big games like this, if he's more consistent and if he's better in big games like this, then Texas has got a real shot. If not, then they don't have a real shot. You know what I mean? The whole thing is hinging on Arch, and it's not about being good. It's not about being, well, I'm going to be better down the stretch or this or that. It's about being great. Every time you line up against in a moment like this against a team like this, because this is college ball playoff type stuff,
yes,
right here.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, I think it's more about Arch. Look, there's no question about it. Sarkisian is one of the best offensive minds in football. You can dislike his system, but he's one of the best offensive minds in football, right? You look at the roster that he's built; one of the best in football. They went in the transfer portal. They surrounded Arch with a ton of talent. They've shipped out some productive players and said, we ain't paying you. We're gonna pay. They made some tough decisions, and it seems like the majority of them have paid off. And so, this is about Arch Manning, not Sark. Obviously, it's about all of them. But if you couch it that way, Arch or Steve, it's about Arch. And he's got to be big in this moment.
I just say that because last year when they faced Ohio State, now Arch took a lot of it, but oddly enough, when you watch it, Sark took a lot of it too for his game plan and the positions that he put Arch in. Now, both of them, as the season moved on, seemed to understand each other better, and Texas kind of took off there late, including the way they finished the season. But I think it's an interesting fact with both of them on who we're going to be talking about more. I look at this, Clint. Texas should win. I just think when you look at it, advantages, most people believe they have the advantage at quarterback. Most people, obviously they're at home. There's only a 1.5-point underdog, but one and a half point favorite. But you're at home. You got, as you just talked about, this roster you built, they've built one of the best transfer portal rosters led by Cam Coleman. In the country, at home, man, I think most title contend, all right, we're going to win a national championship. And Ohio State's a good football team.
Yeah.
Well-coached football team. But, I mean, these are games they got to win. You got to win at home, especially with the rest of their schedule coming up.
Yeah.
They can, and we talked to Danny Cannell last week, they can put themselves in a tough spot where they got to put it on the committee to let a team in with maybe three losses.
Yeah.
You got to take care of business at home.
We talk a lot about Arch and Sark, and obviously, though, on that side of the football, they've got to be better than they were last year. They didn't score many points, right? But the key here to me with Texas is kind of an unknown with Muschamp as a defensive coordinator. His return to University of Texas as a defensive coordinator. I love Muschamp. I love his style. I think he's going to pay off big time for Texas, but we don't know yet. We'll see how he handles the Ohio State offense, what his plan is, and how the defense can hold up. Here's the thing. I don't think this is a must win, but I think it's got to be a nail biter. I don't think this can. What was it last year?
It was close.
But wasn't it like 10-7 or something like that?
It was super.
This can't be. I don't care who you are, who you're playing. Arch Manning can't go out and have the production of 7. This offense can't be held to 7 points. This has got to be maybe not a shootout, but a very entertaining game where it's won in the end by one team or the other. And I think each team walks away being a better team and no negatives, if you will, if that is the case. That's where I sit. I don't think it's a must win, but it's damn sure one of those we better get game of the year type stuff.
Do you expect Texas to win?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, that's where they should be.
Yeah.
Like last year, it was in Ohio State. I expected it to be a good game, but I expected Ohio State to win because it's at home, and that is a big enough an advantage. And I think that should be the case here for Texas. They get those type teams at home, and they got to be up for it, Clint. You just talked about it. I mean, the way they lost that game, and if I remember correct, they were down in the red zone multiple times. I know a lot of Texas fans remember this, and they shot themselves in the foot multiple times that led to them not being able to score enough points in that game. So they got to be up for this thing. But, yeah, Texas has got to win these games at home against teams like this. So it'll be a good one. Come on out to Talliard's. Hang out with me on Saturday night as we watch damn sure probably the matchup of the non-conference season, Texas and Ohio State. Coming up, what is something maybe that we watched last night in the opener between the Patriots and the Seahawks that we hope we don't see coming up on Sunday? We'll discuss that coming up next.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it is football is back, baby. Got a game tonight. We'll talk about 5 o'clock fire as well. The Super Bowl favorites play tonight in Australia. So a big one tonight. And with football starting, baby, that means, Clint, Tyler, it starts for us. Football Fridays are back, and they are back, and it starts tomorrow. And we'll be at Oak and Iron tomorrow, 2 to 6. Come on out, hang out. We've been there multiple times. It is a great, great spot. Me and Clint's going to have a fight on our hands.
What are you talking about?
I haven't had a drink in 5 weeks.
You've been over a month? Look at you.
Look at you guys. Very nice.
Well, once. But outside of the one time I hadn't had a drink.
Only one time you've had drinks.
Yeah, huh? One time.
You've had one outing because it was more than one drink. Wasn't
I had to close it. I had to close the deal, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Shout out to you, Talliard. It was so good. They pulled me out of there. Had to get me one.
When you go to a brewery like that and see
the Bluebonnet, that Bluebonnet got me. Had to get me one.
It happened.
But they've got all that whiskey they had there. Oof, boy, they had a line of whiskey. It's a great spot to have a drink. And I distinctly remember I walked in. I couldn't forget the old what were they? It was pork belly and oyster deviled eggs.
Yep. Oof.
That was
duck wings.
The duck wings, yes. Those two were really, really good. So they got everything you need. Come on out, hang out with us tomorrow, 2 to 6. Oak and Iron, as we kick off football Fridays coming up this season. All right, Clint. Last night it was a tight game, 13-10. And I think one of the things that stuck out to me was Drake May, especially in the second half and especially in the fourth quarter, Clint. It looked like he was out there to prove something.
Yeah.
He was out there, come hell, I'm gonna make some plays. And you saw, and you've been back there, you know, obviously as a quarterback in the NFL and college, and he just forced some stuff. He was gonna try to get something to go. He's gonna try to make something happen.
Seattle's got the ball.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. And I don't know if, you know, he was pressing, he wanted to impress, or what. But I looked at that, and I could hear all offseason a lot of people talking about with him and how that game ended in Seattle and how his playoffs were, and he wasn't the same quarterback that actually finished second in the regular season in the MVP in the playoffs. C.J. Stroud is one of the quarterbacks that had been talked about even worse than that, right? Worse than that, questioned big time. And I think my biggest concern about C.J., and I would even say this maybe this year in certain matchups, but especially this one coming up on Sunday, Clint, is he's sitting there and he has been listening to this all year.
Yeah.
I mean, all offseason. And he's human, Tyler. Hell yeah! Like that is going to get you and motivate you if you talked about like a dog, whether it's warranted or not. Like, that's going to get you and motivate you. He'd been waiting for this. And then Josh Allen is who they put in front of him. Arguably the best quarterback the last couple of years, the best quarterback in the league, arguably. My biggest concern is he gets himself a little juiced for this.
Yeah.
And he wants to get out there and prove and shut everybody up that's been talking this trash. And that's human nature, and I can understand where he's coming from, but I just hope he doesn't. Drake May clearly at times yesterday look like he's just doing way too damn much.
Right.
Way too much. And I hope CJ doesn't let that get a hold of him.
Well, look, I mean, that's the real battle that CJ has this whole year. And really in this offense as a whole, is you're gonna have to be okay and comfortable with a 10-7 ball game. You're going to have to be okay with you know, stats not being and I'm not saying he's not okay with that, by the way. I'm just saying that's the nature, right, is when you go through a whole football game and you're talented as these guys are, Drake May and C.J. Stroud, and things aren't clicking offensively, but you've been able to score one touchdown and kick a field goal, you got 10 points, you feel like the game's right there to be won, right, is how do you keep from putting on the Superman cape, getting frustrated, getting impatient, and going out and trying to force plays instead of just running the offense. That is absolutely going to be the biggest challenge for C.J. Stroud, because make no bones about it, just passing, he's as good a thrower of the football as there is out there. And he's going to be in a system where he's going to be asked to first and foremost minimize risk and let your defense win this thing for you. And you're going to look across the field at Josh Allen week one. You're going to look across the field at, what is it, Joe Burrow week two. Then you're going to look across the field in Indianapolis, Daniel Jones. And then week four, you're back here. You look across the field at Dak Prescott. And then boys are slinging it all over the park, holding the football, making big risky throws over the top, putting up highlight reels possibly. And you're asked to minimize risk. That is going to be a challenge for anybody. And it's definitely going to be a challenge for C.J. Stroud.
Yep, I thought this before watching the game on last night.
Yeah, like, we talked about it.
Is he like? Because it's just human nature. You know, anything you've done when anybody has doubted you in anything. That's not just C.J. You, Tyler, listeners. This person who just texted in, still not sure CJ has the right mentality. Like, anybody has challenged you, you want to go and shut people up. And I know some of you all think CJ is soft. What he has shown, he is extremely competitive. Just like most of these guys to get to where they've gotten to in the NFL and have the success that they've had. He's extremely competitive. And I love that the quarterback thinks this way, but Clint, you've covered CJ, you've been around him, you see the talent that he has and the ability he has. Now CJ may not say it to you, but CJ definitely thinks he could play with Josh Allen.
No question. No question.
And he actually has stats. The only time that they've actually faced each other that shows that he outplayed him.
Yeah.
And that I just hope it doesn't form into a deal where, all right, I'm about to go ahead and try to fit this in here.
It's gonna be a real struggle. The good thing is this, the Texans. Now I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's the way that they've decided to go about it. They have every time there's been a microphone in front of the general manager or the head coach or the offensive coordinator for that matter. They have made sure to mention we got to protect the football, all costs. We can't turn the ball over.
Which as you've talked about, is maybe that's not what Drake May's been hearing.
No, I mean Vrabel said it after the game. We want to be aggressive, not reckless. I mean, I'd be shocked if the word aggressive has been mentioned.
I was about to say, how often do you think they're saying, "Hey man, cut it loose, man"?
I don't think that's the case, but it's going to be a real challenge. That's not a bad thing. That is just where, you know, you got a defensive minded head coach with a second year play caller in a system that's really vanilla and is more about minimizing risk than making explosives ultimately. And CJ's an explosive dude. I mean, that's the kind of arm that he has, kind of ability that he has, and how those two mesh this season is going to be absolutely critical.
But that is a good point of this is going to be a challenge all season for us. Like it just keeps building. Like you're at this level and you're being asked not to do it.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal is where it really gets hairy is if you play the quarterbacks and the teams that we talked about, which they do, they can't change the schedule. The first month of the season is what it is, right? You got Cincinnati, Dallas, Buffalo, and Indianapolis. You got some really good football teams. And if that approach, right, bears fruit and you win games that way, then you look up and your team's 3-1 or you're, 4-0 or whatever it may be, and it's easy as a quarterback to go, okay, I'm going to settle into this role. If you're sitting there at 1-3 or even 2-2 and you're scoring 10, 17 points a game and it's just not enough, that's when you got to worry about, okay, does he start pressing then? Does he start trying to do too much in the end? That to me, that's when it becomes could potentially become a problem.
Yeah, it's become a deal right there. Text line coming in, doing your job and commanding the troops is more important than forcing and getting into a penis measuring contest. C. Drake May.
Whoa.
Yeah, and like what I would argue to you and I think to say with CJ is, did you think that's what he was doing his first year? Did you think that's what he was doing against Buffalo his second year, against the Niners last year? Against the Chiefs before, is that what? No, he was just playing ball, and taking advantage of his skills. I think that's what he would say.
Yeah,
when I was going up against Joe Burrow, and we were like that wasn't no penis measuring contest. We should stop saying penis.
Probably.
Yeah, Johnsonville measuring contest. Is that better?
Glizzy measuring contest?
That's a hot dog.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Big Glizzy. Whiner.
Yeah. That's why we love the text line as they help us move through. Coming up 5:00 fire as the Astros. Can we get a little celebration music? We didn't get any yet. The Astros come up with a big W and several heroes. We'll let you know what that looked like, and we'll hear from the manager, Joe Espada, the lieutenant, as well as the injury report is out. A couple of guys did not practice today. We'll let you know who that is, and we'll get you ready for the second game of the NFL season, Niners-Rams tonight. All of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.